What day? All right, we'll go ahead and pray and jump in this. Father, we just honor you as always and bless you. Right now, we come to you just to depress ourselves so that we can hear from you by your Spirit. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. And we just glorify you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. There's a video that I want to pull up, and watch. I think it's very interesting, and I like I love sharing information, and I'm willing to listen to anybody that's speaking truth. And it really, I really don't focus on their religion. My main focal point is truth, and when I run across something that is from that perspective, then I'm willing to share it. And this is one of these cases. I'm going to click on this one, but I'll see what all he has to say.
A number of comments have objected to you using the Jesuits on the West, and they want to be more specific because there is no monolithic block called the West. It is an unfair generalization to say.
You know, it's strange, if you think about it. It's strange that you don't want me to call you the West. You don't want everyone to be lumped together under that term. It's not my term, it's your term. I didn't come up with it, you did. You call yourselves the West. Western civilization. We all grew up hearing about how wonderful the West is. Western achievement, Western thought, Western enlightenment. You're happy to take collective credit as the West.
Hold on just a minute. I don't think I'll hit. Did I click for this one? I did. I'm moving 100 miles per hour. I don't even know what I'm doing. Okay. And I hit this one too, right? Okay.
For whatever you think is good. But for the bad things, you want to disassociate yourselves from it. When you're talking about the bad things, then you're like, whoa, what West are you talking about exactly? Who do you mean by the West? The way you people tell the story, people like Douglas Murray or Jordan Peterson or Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins or Hitchens, Christopher Hitchens, all these types, you would think that every European on the continent participated in painting the Sistine Chapel, everyone painting in shifts. All of you collectively invented penicillin, from the telephone to airplanes, from the cotton gin to the microchip. You all did that as one gigantic team effort. We, the West, abolished slavery. We, the West, gave women the right to vote. We, the West, developed modern technology. You like being called the West then, but just bring up one, just one, of your innumerable atrocities, and then everyone starts looking around. Who, me? Oh, you must have me mistaken for some other person, some other West. Hugh, you know, Shaggy, it wasn't me. My forefathers didn't own slaves. My forefathers didn't slaughter the Native Americans. My forefathers were just poor, innocent peasants. I have nothing to do with it. Innocent as can be. You want to take collective credit, but you want to individualize blame. But you'll say that Isaac Newton, for example, is a product of the West. Michelangelo was a product of the West. Mozart was a product of the West. Leonardo da Vinci, Thomas Edison, Steve Jobs, they're all products of the West. But somehow your villains are all bastards, illegitimate children that you don't want to claim. No, Hitler was your child. King Leopold was your child. Harry Truman was your child, a man who killed more people in a matter of seconds than anyone in the history of the human race. And not to mention every American president after Truman, you know, from the Korean War to Vietnam to the dirty wars in Central and South America to Panama, the first and second wars in Iraq, Somalia, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, and before Truman. I don't think that the United States has had a single decade in its history when it wasn't slaughtering some people somewhere in the world. These are all products of Western civilization too. But anytime these crimes get brought up, you deny collective responsibility. I mean, if I try to list all of your crimes, I can't even remember them all. But if I try to list just the ones that I can remember, your battery will die before I can even properly get started. You know, I saw a video the other day of Omar Suleiman. And he was asked by some lady, some woman, who asked him, why don't Muslims condemn acts of terror by Muslim criminals? And he was trying to be patient, you know, his style. He was trying to be kind, he was smiling, a very forced smile. And he said, no, Muslims always condemn these things. But why don't you condemn when one of your people murders Muslims in a mosque? And of course he has a point, but also, of course they don't. Of course you don't condemn those things. You've got statues of Winston Churchill who starved millions of Bengalis and who used poison gas on the Kurds. You not only don't condemn your terrorists, you not only don't try them for war crimes as they should be tried, you re-elect them into office. Not just elect them, re-elect them. And you deny any responsibility for their atrocities. No, if you want to be called the West when it comes to any positive achievements, then you have to accept being called the West for all the full catalog of inhuman, vicious, genocide, murder, rape, torture, bigotry, exploitation, oppression, assassinations, coups and subjugation, evil and brutality, all that your people have ever committed. That's why I always say Western civilization is a sarcastic term, because you never civilized. And, you know, we made cool stuff is not a defense. Your approach to morality is, let's not and say we did. Let's not be moral, but say we are. You think that righteousness is denying the evil you do, not stopping yourselves from doing the evil. As long as you say you don't do it, or you call it something else, then somehow you're not evil when you do evil, as long as you don't admit it. It's upside-down world. Every day is backwards day in the West. Bad is good, wrong is right. It's no surprise that you think that a person should be called whatever pronoun they self-identify as, because that's what you've always believed. That's what you've always done. You self-identify as virtuous, as moral, as righteous, freedom-loving, tolerant people, even though you have never been that, and no one in the world sees you as that, but still you insist that that's what we call you. You insist that we deal with you as if that's what you are. You've always believed that the whole world should participate in your self-delusion. So of course you came up with this idea that a man should be called a woman and treated as a woman if he believes that that's what he is, or a woman a man. This isn't new with you. It's always been the way you believed. It's always been the way you functioned in the world. That you believed that you had the right to defy objective reality, and that your own victims had no right to define you. No matter what, you insist on your own blamelessness. And I'm telling you, how on earth do you expect to ever stop doing blameworthy things if you think that you are immune from blame, no matter what you do? Yes, okay, your forefathers were probably poor peasants. I agree with you. They didn't participate in the crimes of the West. They didn't participate in colonization or imperialism. But then they also have no reason to take pride in the achievements of the West either, and neither do you. They were victims of the West in their own way, and so are you. If you want to disassociate yourself from the crimes, then disassociate yourself from the achievements, and realize that you and your forefathers and your ancestors were all abandoned and betrayed and duped by propaganda about Western civilization. No one ever cared about your development or your forefathers' development. No one ever cared about your welfare or your forefathers' welfare. No one ever cared about your upliftment or theirs. No one ever cared about your life. Not yours, not your forefathers, not your ancestors. And the West doesn't care about you now. But here you are defending it, like you have no self-esteem, like you have no pride. You and I both know the West doesn't care if you starve to death. They don't care if you get kicked out of your home and live on the streets. If you spend the rest of your life drowning in debt, they don't care. If you fry your brains on drugs, they don't care. And if you decide that life is too hard, they'll help you kill yourself. That's the West. And that's what the West thinks of you. The West didn't raise you right, because you don't matter to the West. They don't care if you have knowledge. They don't care if you have an education. They'll pass you on up to the next grade, whether or not you can read or write, because you don't matter. Every day of your life, your civilization, all around you, is shouting at you in a million different voices that you don't matter. You're just a replaceable cog in the machine. Everyone in the West is regarded as disposable by the West, and still you defend it as the pinnacle of human refinement. You need to break that spell, because you're living in a trance of propaganda that's all designed to keep you oblivious to your own humiliation. But then you'll get mad at me for trying to tell you to break that spell, to break that trance. You'll get mad at me because I'm trying to tell you that you need to stop being humiliated. You need to stop aligning yourself with the ones who are humiliating you. You need to stop aligning yourself with the ones that were humiliating your forefathers and that are humiliating you now. And you're going to get mad at me. But you don't disassociate yourself. I'm supposed to disassociate you from them, but you're not. Why should I disassociate you from the West when you don't do it yourself? I'm trying to tell you that you need to break the trance. I'm trying to tell you that you need to break out of the propaganda. You need to break out of the indoctrination. You need to break out of the programming. But you're going to get mad at me for telling you that. And you want to hold on to the programming. You want to hold on to the indoctrination. And then while you're holding on to it, I'm supposed to separate you from the indoctrination that you're holding on to. So how are you supposed to change?
All right. I mean, that was sobering just to listen to. And it put a lot of stuff on. It should put a lot of stuff on our minds. First of all, as the people of Yah, and you know, and since we are followers of the kingdom of our God, it should put some sobering things on our mind. I mean, he said a whole lot and was speaking nothing but the truth. Now, when he talked about being in a trance, it is something that that I see every day. When I look at not only my people, but when I look at other races of people also, I see that everybody is like, and when I say everybody, you know, I'm not, that's a general expression, not really saying everybody that I see, but it's just something I'm using as a general term. It's like everybody's in a trance. And the most concerning part about this trance is that it has infiltrated into the church, into the body of Christ. And it's like everybody has bought, for lack of a better way to put it, it's like everybody has bought into the American dream that is truly an American nightmare when you sit down and look at it. And you see this, you see this American dream that's happening with church people, and that's the part that's most vexing, even disturbing to me. It's like the body of Christ has taken on this mentality and is in this trance to the point to where we're all seeking the same things as far as the West is concerned. So if you listen to what he said, when he said West, because they was trying to get him to name a specific country, but when he said West, he was dealing with a term that I understood from a spiritual perspective. So when he started rambling off the names, you know, he mentions Hitler, he mentions, you know, other people who he classified as far as the West is concerned. And as he gave out those different names, the scripture came to mind in Genesis 10:1-5, it came to mind. Well, verse 1 says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." Then as it gives the son of Japheth, it says Gomer, Magog, Madai, and Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, there's a lot of data out there that says 98% of your Jewish people are Ashkenaz. And so although they, you know, they say that they are of the seed of Abraham, yet they identify their father as the seed of Japheth. But because people are in this trance, then they accept them as the chosen people, although their history proved it to be otherwise. And Ripheth and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their famines in their nations. And so the scripture points out that that they are not of the of the seed of Shem, which the nation of Israel come from through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And what's even more interesting, and I'll explain the reason why I went here after I say this, what's even more interesting is when you see the nations that I'll just pull it up here, but I don't think I'm going to spend a lot of time with it. When you see the nations that Satan goes to after he's released, after the 1,000 years, Revelation 20 verse 7 says, "And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea." So when you look at this, and then you move to the left of the screen, you see that Magog is listed as a son of Japheth. So when this gentleman was calling out different names, he was calling out names of this family. When you understand it biblically, he's calling out the names of his family. Now, what I find interesting as he's dealing with these families, the scripture points out a fact behind these families. Okay? Now, when we look at Genesis 9, verse 27, we've dealt with this so many times, but it's good to go over. Genesis 9, verse 27 said, "Yah shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now, when we look at the word enlarge, it doesn't mean just to be big. But it says, as we look at the definition, it says roomy. It says to open, roomy. But it also says in a mental or moral sense. But it says also says delude, allure, deceive. And so What we're looking at when it comes down to the West is where, when you look to the far right of the screen, and I'm going to get out of Genesis 9. Now, when you look at the right of the screen, when you look at these families in Genesis 10, verse 2 and 3 and 4, these are the families that basically comprise of what is classified as the West. Okay? And so when he started talking about the West, when he started talking about the West, he was saying that all of your wars pretty much that the West has had something to do with it in one facet or another. And so when you start understanding this family or the sons of Japheth, then all these things are made clear. And so as we look at Genesis 9, verse 27, it says to make him roomy, but from a deceptive standpoint, then it causes us to realize that Yah spoke some things concerning this nation, because it says By these were the isles of Gentile divided in their land, verse 5, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So these are all the nations that make up the sons of Japheth. And when you run their history, because they know their history, we as the people of the book are the only, really the only nation who does not know as a whole where we come from. But when you look at these other nations, they can tell you where they come from. Japanese, they can tell you. Chinese, they can tell you. You know, all these, all your Asians, all of them, they can tell you. Your Mexican people can tell you. It's like all these different races, they have a homeland. But when you look at us as a people, we have a homeland, but it's not identified. And so we have nowhere where we could actually go or have a dual citizenship in one fashion or another. So when we see this here, these are the sons that is that as a whole, that has the whole world off course. And Satan knows who his people are. He knows who, as we've been discussing some things as far as unclean spirits and devils are concerned, he knows who he can go to deceive. He knows who he can go to and deceive. And so he goes to the same people that he's been using for generations. And we as I'm going to just say this, you know, which includes our nation as a whole, we as the church should not get caught up into this deception that that Yah spoke about through Moses in Genesis 9 verse 27. And I see it, man. I can't say this enough. I see it on people. I see it on members of this church, man. And it's vitally important for each one of you to not get caught up in the deception. Get out of the trance, man. Everybody caught up in this trance. And that trance that America deceives us with are catchphrases that if you're not careful, you'll find yourself doing, you know. If you know this song keep coming to mind. Y'all help me out. I can't think of who sings it, who sing the song. It's the words that's in there is I'm living my best life.
Lil Duval.
Who?
The guy named Lil Duval.
No, this a woman. It's a Christian woman.
Oh,
yeah, it's a Christian woman. Who?
One of the Mary.
Mary. That's it. And so she, you know, she's saying, "I'm living my best life, And I'm something like, okay. Now, he's supposed to be, I said supposed to be, not saying she's not, I'm just saying supposed it. Because, I mean, she's on both sides of the fence, so supposed it. He's supposed to be a gospel singer, and you're focusing on living your best life, but approaching it from not a kingdom perspective, but a world perspective. And people are in this trance, man. Everybody is trying to live their best life. And it ain't kingdom. It's not kingdom. And so what this man again was talking about in the video, he was saying the West got you in a trance and you need to get out of it. Now here's a man that is saying
saying the same thing, although his religion is he's a Muslim, but truth is just truth. He's saying the same thing. Y'all, it's like we're in a trance, man. And I watch people. I watch how they, just how they carry themselves. It's like people just, you know, each day. It's like everybody just getting up and I'm get up and I'm gonna go to work and I'm gonna follow this routine. And I'm gonna do all these different things. They got to do with what how America should function, how the West should function. It's like we all in a trance. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what it's gonna take for us as the body to wake up. There are times when I teach lessons like this, the best way to explain it, there are times when I preach messages like this, and for a split second, for lack of a better way to put it, for a split second, it's like people snap out of it. But then give a little time, let a little time go by, and the trance is right back there. It's like for a split second, people say, "Oh, I hear you," and they wake up. And it reminds me of what the scripture said, that we can behold our face in the mirror and then get out of the mirror and forget what manner of person we are. And it's like that's what people are doing. It's like we gather here doing training school, like tonight, or Sabbath service, and for a split second we behold ourselves in the mirror. And then when that time frame, that period of time is over, then it's like we walk away and forget what manner of people we are. And everybody just start doing the same old thing. The same old thing. I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to really think about this. How many know what they're going to be doing tomorrow and Friday? How many can give a step by step? Make sure you mute your phones. How many can give a step-by-step process of what you're going to be doing on tomorrow? Is there any room for y'all to do something different? Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing what you're going to be doing tomorrow and Friday, but what I'm challenging you on is from the perspective of what I meant when I said a trance. Are you so programmed to the point to where you do the same thing over and over? Hell, pull up to a light and you notice that it's three lanes. You notice that the two outside lanes had cars lined up all the way down the street and the middle lane was wide open. Those two outside lanes are filled with people who are in a trance. Everybody just follow one another. Are you that someone who will look at that and get out of that line and drive up to that light and be the first one at that light? Very few people are willing to do that. Because everybody's used to doing what everybody else is doing. you don't want to get a trend started, just get a few people to do it. You don't want to get a lie started, just get a few people to do it. Because everyone in the West is used to doing what everybody else does. And we'll accept anything. I don't know about you, but I refuse to live my life according to the standards of the West. I want to live my life according to the standards of the kingdom of our God. If I can just have this much money, if I can just have this kind of car, if I can just have this kind of house, if I can just do all these different things, then I am now somebody. Social media is filled with people who are trying to be somebody, instead of just realizing that they are. I watch so many people do things and have things and all this here, and I'd be like, man, in a trance. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself and you know, going and do things. I'm not saying that, because I like to enjoy myself and go do things too. But I refuse to be in the trance of going places and doing things and coming back wondering when I click the light switch if they're going to be on or not. But yet you got people who do that all the time. Just forget it. Nothing matters. I'm going to live my best life. Nothing matters. Just forget it. I'm going to do what. That's a trance. I can be transparent with you. Just, I don't care. I'm about done anyhow. I ain't got a whole lot to say. I think the video was good enough. Yeah, I ain't got to say nothing. My mindset has always been, when it comes down to the things of the kingdom, it is, I've always viewed it as primary. If there's anything that had to do with the kingdom, I always dealt with it with primary. What I call primary. Now, what I call primary, you know, I like saying this when I say stuff like this, where your mind may start wondering what you think primary is. You know, that's when it makes me say, okay, what do I mean when I say primary? Because when you say primary, you're thinking first. When someone mostly said, I'm putting myself as primary, then a lot of time people will view that as someone who's saying, you know, I'm putting myself first. But I'm a kingdom thinker. So when I say primary, I don't put the, I have to say it like this in order for you to get to see my mind. When I say primary, I'm not saying that I put everything in the kingdom first. Alone. When I said I view the kingdom as primary, what I am saying is there are things in my personal life that is primary. And when I say the kingdom is primary, it's all inclusive. So I can't put me first by myself if I don't bring the kingdom along with it. Primary. Also, I can't, you get some people so heavily bound to the point they're no earthly good that all they do is church. Every time you look around, they, you know, I use my father as an example. He wore me out, man. I'm like, okay, here I am, I'm a kid. You know, every time I look around, I'm going in one church, though, coming out another one. You know, I go to sleep in one church, wake up, I'm in another church. I'm like, what the world is going on? To my father, the church and the services and all those things associated with that was primary to him. To the point to where as a young kid, I didn't come much spending the summer days with him. I'm like, I can't go play. I'm like, all I'm going to be doing is this in church, man. Okay, let's do some primary here. Okay, we can go to church. I like church. I was raised up in it. But doggone, I like baseball, too. I like to just play and do some other things, too. I don't, you know. And so when I say primary, what I'm saying is all inclusive. I have a light bill and a church bill. If I just have a church bill and I'm sitting in the dark, that's out of order. If the church's lights on and I'm sitting in the dark, that's out of order, cause my primary is to be the ruler of the house and make sure that my household is taken care of. So I can't take one now and neglect the other. There was a time when I didn't understand that, and I did it to a certain extent, but it was because of a lack of understanding. Now that I understand kingdom and how things work, then I know better. And the reason why I didn't know better back then is because that's how I was taught by preachers who I trusted. That would say, you need to give your tithe before you pay your light bill. Y'all heard it. You probably heard it from me back in the day, too. Although I don't remember saying that, but you probably heard it. Okay, so you see these different things where people would make statements and things like that, and it caused people to get things out of order, not understood, not have the understanding of what primary is as far as the kingdom is concerned. That we have a responsibility to our family as well as the kingdom of our Yah. And so if we're kingdom minded, then if you can be at home with lights on and the church's lights are out, then you're in a trance, baby. I can't distinguish between the two. Because I'm not in a trance. I never choose one over the other. My mindset is figure out how to get both of them taken care of. That's primary. That's why I said my primary is different from most people understand their primary. When it comes down to the kingdom, it's all primary. When it comes down to my family, it's all primary. Because when you really look at it in its purest form, it's all it's all kingdom. Okay. So now, all these things I've said, you examine yourself. Are you in a trance? Have you been so, for lack of a way to put it, westernized, if that is a word, I don't care, I just made it up if it ain't. have we been so westernized to the point to where we live our life like those who are not a part of the kingdom, but instead we live our lives like the West? And you saw how the brother pointed out, he said, the West don't care nothing about you. When we stop caring about one another, we are now operating in the mentality of the West. It'll starve you. It'll take from you. That's what I'm talking about. If you can't pay your mortgage, like he said, they'll put you out. The West will put you out. If you can't pay your car notes, see what happened. They're going to come pick it up. And that thinking has put us in a trance, and now all we do is focus on how what we can do to make sure that we are living the best life in the West. Now, everything I just said, I'm done. Everything I just said, it just challenged you. But I wonder how you gonna see yourself when this lesson shuts down. If you notice, I'm trying to close, but I ain't running nothing. He brought it up, so I ain't got no choice. I'm glad I'm not the boss. That's a good thing about being a supervisor. You can just say, you don't like it, take it to the boss. If you notice, I don't discuss anything about the church's fairs anymore. And I won't. I will not share any more information about the church's affairs. What good does it do to talk to people in the trance? Well, I tell you, if you can't hear. But Pastor, I do be hearing you. No, a hearer is a doer. So until things are being done, we're in a trance. So y'all said, stop sharing information. If anyone asks you how long we're going to be online, forever if it have to be. Even after the building open. Remember one thing that your pastor always said, he do not need a building to do what Yah has called him to do. I don't need a building. I'm just as effective without a building as I am with one. You'd be shocked the amount of people that I reach without a building being finished, open. say this and I'm done. I'm at the stage of ministry where Yah is saying, I'm only going to allow people to put legs to the vision who's not in the trance. Those who remain in the trance will or can still be a part of it to a certain perspective, but don't expect too much responsibility. We got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do, and I'm impressed with how Yah is doing me right now. I'm literally getting stronger by the day. And Yah is allowing these medical people to see some things that is taking them out of a trance. they have a standard that Yah is using me to break. So I'm understanding why I asked for the sickness and the things that I'm dealing with and understanding, man, it's some levels of understanding that I have in dealing with this medical stuff that is mind blowing. I may share it with the church as a whole. We'll see. But I can tell you some stuff, and I can it's like Yah said, I got to get you behind the scenes so you can see what they doing. You can't see as long as you're on the outside, but I got to get you inside, right in the middle of the fire. And the only way I can do that is I got to let your body go through something so that you can see it and experience it. And I'm going to use you to defy it. And all of the standards that they set and say and all the things that they have in place, he said, I'm going to allow you to defy it all. And that's what's been going on. Every time I sit in the Dallas's chair, they are amazed. People who are on dialysis, they watch. They stir when I come in and sit down. Because they be like, it's something about this one here. Because when I first walked through the door, I was 159. I weighed 159 pounds. So they looking at me and stuff like that. And then they see me coming in there and my muscular, physique is coming back pretty good. And it's like some things going on that they sit up here saying, wait a minute, this one here is different. We all going downhill, but it's like this one here is going uphill. Y'all said I'm going to use it to defy everything that they say. You'll be my witness. I thank y'all for that. And what I've gone through hasn't been fun, but I've come a long way from a man who couldn't walk back in July. Come a long way. I'm about 70%, I'll say. Probably about 70%. But 70% for me is twice as strong as most men. Because at 100%, I was 3 to 4 times strong as most men. Say this and then I'm done. Here I am, a man who's been diagnosed with a tumor in the colon. This is for y'all's glory now. A tumor in the colon, dialysis, radiation, other little health issues that MRIs have shown that's not really that serious, but they're there. I'm battling with a whole lot of different things. And I had dialysis today, came home, did my ab routine, and got on the treadmill after dialysis. Y'all doing something special. I work out for 2 hours twice a week. When I first started working out, I couldn't do but about 50 pounds. Now some of the machines, I put 300 or better. Most healthy men can't do 300. I'm a sick man on dialysis doing 300. So that'll tell you something. Y'all doing something. Now, I say this as I close. If the church would come out of the trance, what could we do? That's just some of the testimony. How many people do you know that comes out of dialysis and goes straight into the gym and work out for an hour? I tell you, somebody is not in a trance and kingdom minded. So what you're seeing is not my strength. It is him being strong in my weakness. Y'all, so I'm going to show the world. All right, I'm done. That's all I got to say. Come out of the trance, church. Don't be like the West. Don't take on this mindset. We know we have to operate in it. We know that. We live here. But you can be in something and not be a part of something. You can be in something and not be a part of something. One more time. You can be in something and not a part of something. Okay, I'm done. Thank y'all for letting me fuss a little bit. Y'all know I'm going to do it every now and then, but when I fuss, it's on the Lord you love. He going to teach. Father, y'all, we just bless you and we thank you for just allowing me to run across this brother who spoke the truth. I don't have enough sense to come up with that information, but like you always just guide me to it. And it further manifests that you have a great love for us, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you informing us, even if it's not someone who is a follower of the same kingdom that we're following. We just love truth. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.